Kof Beis Kislev, Sunday the 14th of December, Rabbi David Kahn. Accidental damage in the playground, who pays?
Good morning. Good morning, Ashka, for the opportunity again to meet up with you. We're not quite like Hillel. Not quite, but Maine. So, here we are. So this was the case. This is the case. A teacher, anyone who's been a teacher will know, anyone who's been a schoolboy will be able to identify with this. A teacher was walking past through the playground from one building to the next, and there was a game of football going on. And the ball was kicked by one of the boys and went straight into the face of the teacher and broke his glasses. So the question is familiar. Sounds familiar. I won't ask you if it sounds familiar because you were the teacher or because you were the boy. But here, this is this. The question is the boy chayv to pay? Is there an obligation to pay for the damage that he's done? That's the question. This is the question that was asked. The teacher should have seen. Of course he saw they were playing. That's the normal thing to do in the playground. So he saw they were playing, but he wasn't expecting the ball to come his way. You sound like the boy. You sound like the boy. So the question is, there is a simple concept of Odom Muad Lo'ilom. Odom Muad Lo'ilom, people, we are all responsible for our actions. We can't say it was a mistake. We can't say we didn't mean it. If we do damage, so yes, you can say it was a mistake, I'm terribly sorry for the pain, for the inconvenience that I caused you, but the obligation to fill the financial hole is an obligation upon each and every person. Odom Muad Lo'ilom, we've got responsible for our actions. So the simple pshat, the simple thing you would say is, if the child is under bar mitzvah, we have to think more about whether, what about pigiyosan, what about chayr shoyta v'katan, about katan pigiyosan ro. But if this boy is over bar mitzvah, then surely he should be chayv to pay. Except that there is a Gemara in Makkos, where the Gemara says the following, Tanu Rabbanon, Umotza, what's that going on? The pasuk in Shoftim, V'noshel ha'barzel min ho'etz, Umotza esre'ehu v'omeis. Baruch Hashem, it wasn't like that. It wasn't as bad as that. It was just a pair of glasses. Now the question is, that it says, and it says the Gemara, Umotza Tanu Rabbanon, Umotza, Prat lemamtzi es atzmoi. This comes to exclude a case where a person produces, so to speak, he walks into the, shall we say, the projectile path of the object being thrown. Says the Gemara, Mikan, Omer Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Im Yishiyotze Soho, Even Miyodoi, Hoitze Harois Roishoi, V'Kiblo Potter. So imagine somebody looks down from a high building, and he looks out the window, and for some reason he wants to throw a bottle down into the dustbin, into the skip down below. So he looks carefully, there's nothing there, he drops the bottle. When the bottle's already in flight, somebody pops his head out of the window, and, yes, we won't say what happens, the din is, and it's talking about a case of nefoshes, in such a case he's potter. Because it's got to be umotso esreehu omeis. It's got to be that the bottle, or the stone, found the person, and not the person found the bottle or the stone. And therefore that is the exclusion. Omer Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, im yishiyotzo even miyodo hoitzei alois roisho v'kiblo potter. Now, that's it. But the Gemara doesn't tell you potter from what. The Gemara is talking about golus. What about the chiyuv of nezek? So the Gemara in Makkos is aniyim divetar aniyim b'mokim echot, but the ashirim b'mokim acher, there's a Gemara in Baba Kama. Gemara in Baba Kama, daf lamed gimel amud aleph. The Gemara says the following, Umotzo prat lemamtzis atzmoi. In fact, I've got the Gemara here, and the Gemara says like this, again, Om Rebbe Lez ben Yaakov, mishiyotzai v'mitachas yodav v'hoitzi alois v'reishoi, v'kiblo potter, Om Rebbe Yossi b'chanina, potter migolus, the chayev ba'arba devorim. Mikan, he says the Gemara, manda masli ra'ho kol shekein ha'kamaisa, umanda masli ra'ho ha'kamaisa, Avalaho Chotze Legamri. Machloikus. There's a machloikus over here between two mandarim in the Gemara whether there's a chiyuv of Arba Dvorim or Potter mi Arba Dvorim. And in fact, the Rif, the Rambam, the Rosh, and the Tor, they all passed in like the second opinion, Potter Legamri. Not just from Golus, but also from Arba Dvorim. But why did I mention only Arba Dvorim? The answer is there's a machloikus between most of the Rishonim and the Tor. What about Nezek? Is it only a Pator from the others, Sheves, Ripui, Boishes, or is it also a Pator, Pator from Nezek itself? The Tor says, quite explicitly, he says, Nezek is still chayv to pay. The Shulchan Aruch, though, paskins, not so. Shulchan Aruch paskins quite clearly, he's Pator from everything, altogether is a complete Pator. So therefore, if we go along with the Shulchan Aruch, in such a case, now we have to ask the question, was the teacher walking through the playground as it happened, or was he out on playground duty? If he was on playground duty, and he was stationary, and the ball was kicked, and it hit the teacher, the boy will be chayev, because then it's umotza. If you have a situation where he's going to be there, so in which case, in that case, it would be potter. But, so that's what we have. That is really what seems to be in the end, the bottom line between whether this boy is chayiv or whether he's potter. Is going to depend whether the teacher was walking or whether he's not. How do we understand it? Why should there be this chiluk between whether he's walking or he's not walking? How do we understand the gzeus hakosov? Reb Shmuel Rozovsky explains, he says that's like this. He says, if when I throw the stone, I drop the stone, whatever it is, and it falls, and it's in motion, if somebody else puts their head, they stand in the way, then it's not me, it's not my action. My action was throwing the stone into an open space. When I threw it, that was when my action ended. When later on, somebody else walks into the path of this projectile, in such a case, that's what he's done to himself. Masha'en Kane, if the person was actually in the path of the thing that I threw, so then he's going to be chayev, and that's going to be the din. So that's what we find just in that case alone. It's an interesting question, actually, whether what happens if the child is a cotton, what are the chiyuvim of a cotton, and we'll come to that in a moment. There's another case, which also came to my attention, was asked, was the following. But maybe more of a common scenario. Anyone who's got young children, and they've got glasses, knows that every so often, they come home with broken glasses. What happens? I was playing football. Well, what happens? So what if you're playing football? You play football with your glasses? No. I play football with a ball. What happens? So the football was kicked into my face. So often I've heard parents getting upset with the other. Excuse me, your yankel kicked the football into my Moshe's face. Please pay for the glasses. What's the din? Is there a chiyuv upon yankel's father to pay Moshe's father brand new glasses? He just got them last week and they're now smashed, no use at all. A couple of £100, new pair of glasses. Is he chayiv or not? What would you say? What's the din? Moshe, is that, one second, again, you must be Yankel's father. Must be Yankel's father, yeah? How do you feel, you're Moshe's father, and the glasses have been broken? Plays football, excuse me, be careful, yes? That's what Moshe's father says. Be careful, sorry? So he says, you should tell your Yankel to be careful when he kicks the ball. Why did he kick it into his face? Sorry? Moshe's face is so it's like this. So first of all, we've got the Mishnah in which says the Chayu Shreit of the Kotzen, the Mishnah of Baba Kamal that was mentioned before, Daf Pesayin with Aleph, the Chayu Shreit of the Kotzen, the Giyoson Ro. So strictly speaking, it's Moshe, it's Yankel who's done the damage. Yankel is the one who should be chayev. It's got nothing to do with Yankel's father. And pigyoson ro. So really, you can't be mechayev Yankel to pay anything. Is Yankel's father mechuyev to pay anything for the damage that's been done? That's the first thing. What happens to that chiyuv of a katan? Is there a chiyuv upon Yankel to pay as a katan? The Mishnah says pigyoson ro. He doesn't have to pay. Does Yankel's father have to pay? I think intuitively people feel that Yankel's father should meet the losses that naughty little Yankel has caused as a result of the damage that he's done. Sorry?
He doesn't
have to. So the thing is like this. It is actually a very important thing that often you find that Yankel's father will want to pay, will feel that he should pay. In such a case, if Yankel wants his father wants to come and he feels that he wants to pay, we'll see in a moment, there is a source for saying, Moshe's father doesn't have to say, listen, the Mishnah says, Pigyosan Ra, I'm not going to take money from you. But maybe Moshe's father does have to say to Yankel's father, listen, if you want to pay, that's fine, but please, don't pay because you think you're mechuyev to pay. If you want to pay because you think it's a decent thing to do, because you feel bad that we've suffered this loss due to your little Yankel, that's fine. But don't feel that you're mechuyev to pay. There's an explicit din which says, Hachoyvel b'cheiru shoytze v'kotl chayev. V'heim chovlu b'cheirim, so it's the Mishnah Pei Zayin, and it is in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Tov Chof Dalet, Sifches. He says, V'heim shechovlu b'cheirim p'tzurin, afa pish nispakeach hacheirish. So Shulchan Aruch says, even when Yankel grows up, Yankel doesn't have to remember what he did as a cotton. He is potter from pain, and that's it. That's what he mentions, and that's what's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Interesting thing is that the Taz and the Mogen Avraham in Simon Shin Mem Gimel, and in fact it's brought in the Mishnah Bura here in Simon Shin Mem Gimel at the end of Hilchas Shabbos. So they say the following. He's talking about Hilchas Chinuch, and the Ramah says, V'kotn shehikos ovi ve'ova shoa veirus v'katnusei, afapi she'ein sorich tshuva, k'sheyagdil, mikol mokim, tov loy she'kabel al atzmei ezadova l'tshuva l'kapora, Averus that he did when he was a cotton. Tovloi, says the Mishnah Bura, cotton shegonav, oishahizik, a cotton who stole, or he did damage. He says, roi the beizdin lakosish liyargilbo, it's roi for the beizdin to take up the case and to give him some chinuch. When I say the beizdin, his parents first and foremost, but if his parents are either not around or not doing the job, so the Beis Din have to step in and stop this mazik. By the way, another case that happened where somebody came to visit. Couple, yes, family A came to visit family B, and family A brought their children with. So, parents A are speaking to parents B, and they're talking around, and suddenly there's a huge crash. Right? And the children, yes, one of the children of family A has done damage inside the house. So the father A says to the father B, "Oh, stachel before Shul Mishnah, che begiason ro, terribly sorry, nothing to do with me." So the father B said to father A, "Look, I invited you to come along. You chose to bring your children along. It's your responsibility to look after your children. Begiason ro is if they're on their own. But if I let them into my house, I let you in as a unit, as a family." In which case, in such a case, you have to look after your children. Something to think about, whether that doesn't apply. So really, the responsibility upon us as parents is to look after our children. It may be that if a child does damage, that in Alocha, we can't claim it. But the Beis Din, says the Mishnah Berurah, the Beis Din have a place of it, a part to play, in making sure that the children are looked after, are educated, are guided correctly, even if the parents are not there to do it. Avol, ein sorich l'shalim im ein ha-geneva ba'ein. If the item is no longer with him, he doesn't have to pay for it, but if he's got it, clearly he has to give it back. V'chol zemidina, says the Mishnah Bura, avol lifnim b'shur sadin, There's certainly an obligation. Bein shechoval bei begufoi, oi shehizik loy b'mamoinoi, sorich l'shalim loy. That's the Taz and the Magen Avraham. So there is some obligation there lurking in the background that there is a midas hadin, there is a midas chasidus to pay up. There is a Shad Siyan over here in Yud Ches, and the Shad Siyan says the following. He says, Afilu hahezek hoyorak b'inyan garmi b'yalma, even if it was only a garmi, kein mashma miataz u'miagro. So it's quite severe, but there is a din which is lifnim mushur sadin, and therefore normally, when we do pay up for our children's damage, we do it in order that lifnim mishur sadin that the child has should be absolved, but that's got to be clear that that's done on that basis only. That isn't agreed to by all opinions, because over here in Simon Shin Men Tes in Choshen Mishpat, so it's brought over here, there's a Pisrei Shuvah, it says, Ach Nira, to Aflo Tzeisi Dei Shomayim, Ein Tzorich L'Shalim HaKoil, K'mavur B'mari, so the Pisrei Shuvah brings in Simon Shin Men Tes Sivkot and Beis, didn't we? We read out. The Ramah should do, it says, he should do some tshuva. But it's not mashma, the implication in the Ramah, not like the Taz and the Magen Avraham, that there's an obligation to pay. But there's an obligation to eradicate those bad character traits which have caused him to do damage. He should do tshuva. He says, and therefore he says, Alkein, Hamoicha lo yeh achzori. Somebody who's been asked to be moichel, he shouldn't be cruel. V'yafayis b'ma sh'tiyis payis, and he should be, or v'yafuyis, he should agree to be appeased. B'ma sh'yafayis mishum takonis hashovim, ki ilu sh'roitzim lotzeis yitei shumayim. U'b'sefer chasidim, mashma sh'chayiv l'shalim hakoel k'shigdil. V'ulai mimidus chasidus ko'oma, oi sh'hu mimin, oi sh'hu momoin ha'geneva sh'hoyotachas yodoi. That's what he brings. But I'm the Chavis of Kivega, who writes that there's no chiyuv. It's a big machlokes whether there's any chiyuv at all. Some say there's no chiyuv, some say there's a chiyuv, let's say today shomayim, and some say there's only a chiyuv to do tshuva. So really, that chiyuv is not a clear chiyuv that one can demand it from other people, but probably that's enough that a good parent will want to try and make it right. But one has to know that one's, thank you very much, that one's only doing it on the basis of not an absolute chiyuv, but because one wants to be yotze yidei shomayim. But now, the two children were playing. There's a fascinating tshuva from the Rosh. There's a tshuva from the Rosh, believe it or not, there was a tshuva from the Rosh about two grown-ups who were fighting. I don't know whether they were in a boxing ring or they're having a wrestling match. Something was going on there. And the question is, Beishn is avku yachad. There were two grown-ups who were fighting yachad together. It doesn't say against each other. They were having a game. They were fighting, he says. One person, maybe they were practicing karate. I don't know what they were doing. One threw the other to the ground. V'nofal olov. And he fell upon him after he threw him to the ground. V'nofal olov. When he fell on top of him, simo eino ishul atachton. Really bad. He knocked out his eye. He blinded him. Now the question is he chayev? Says the Rosh, Nira de Potter mehe dvorim. He thinks he's Potter from all Chamish dvorim, he says. Here it is in Klal Kuf Aleph, and it is Din Dalet, Avov. So he says, he's Potter, but Afrikav to Kaimlon Odomud Loilom. So the Rosh goes on, and I think we've mentioned together previously, Big Machlokas, whether when Odomud Loilom has a limitation of Oinus or not. Big machlokes. Tosfos holds as limitation of oines. The Rambam, and the Ran, they hold that there's no limitation of oines. Odom word le'olam is le'olam. We won't go into that now, but the Rosh holds like Tosfos. And therefore the Rosh says there's a patur because he didn't intend to hurt him. He was fighting, he was trying to protect him, to defend himself. And therefore he fell on top of him as a result, lost control, and he landed upon him and harmed him. But the Rosh does say something which L'chaira applies according to all opinions. The Rosh says, Yef shaloi letzamtzim, he cannot be precise, ulechavein, and to direct himself, sheyapilu benachas, that he should throw him over gently, Kadesh lo yazikoi, that it shouldn't damage him. Ki b'chol koichom misavkim. They're fighting with all their might. See, he says, v'chol echod mechavein lahapil chaveiroi. Each person is trying to throw the other one. Im yazikenu, and therefore if he damages him, adaita tohochin is avku yachad. Says the Rosh, that was taken on as a mutual mechila, that if we harm each other, that's what we went into the boxing ring for. Whatever it was, is, you know that you might be harmed, you know you might harm the other person, it was agreed, this was an agreed that we were going to play this, whatever it was, says the Rosh, in such a case, there's a patur which I think works according to everyone, even if you say, Odom Wod Loilon, this is a mutual mechila. Therefore, I think when it comes to the glasses, somebody actually said it was spot on, is that when you're going to play, to get two places, you're going to play football, you know, unless you say quite clearly, you forbid your son to play football, or you tell him he's got to take off his new glasses and wear others, or not wear any glasses at all, which you run the risk that he'll lose them when he takes them off. So just lots of experience. So therefore you have the situation there. Therefore the din is that there is a mutual mechila. You understand that your son is going to go and play football and he'll either break somebody else's glasses or somebody else will break his glasses. This is a thing that might happen. Therefore, according to the Rosh, there would be a patur according to everybody, even if you have the chiyuv of latesa de shemayim. In this case, there's a mutual understanding that any damage done in a game of football where it's expected this type of thing will happen, in such a case, there should be a patur and there won't be a chiyuv at all. If this is the case, back to the teacher, back in the playground. Because in such a case, you can conclude as well that if you have the teacher who goes into the playground, if the school are allowing games of football to be played, and the teacher's supposed to be on duty or walks out into a playground where the children are playing football, if it's a normal thing to be done to play football, it's part of the work. Yes, it's part of the work risk or the work expenses that if a teacher, some harm comes to a teacher or a teacher's car or whatever it is, which is parked in the vicinity, as long as the children are doing what's normally expected to be done, so a game of football is a game of football. And therefore, in such a case, the Rosh would be, according to the Rosh, there'd be an absolute patur, even if the teacher was standing still, then there'd be a patur, according to the tshuva of the Rosh, because al das kein, a teacher, if as long as football is allowed to be played in the playground, and the teacher's supposed to be invigilating whatever it's called, supposed to be on duty, so in such a case, al daita dehoche, that there's a small chance it might happen, and if it happens, the child is potter, and certainly the child's father is potter from paying. And that gives a bit of an idea of the situation to take. So it's like this. A school being mechuyev, I don't think you can be mechuyev the school, actually, to pay. Because not the school who've done anything.
Well, no, but the school has taken, he told him his duty is to be there in the line
so,
of fire.
So if you're a sharp teacher, you'll make them sign on the dotted line, but if they are harmed during playground duty, then they're the mechuyev to pay. But if you don't make that explicit condition with them, the fact that you suffered a loss during work hours, I don't think you can be behind the school to pay either.
Does that extend as well to school property? If a football smashes a window?
No. Very good question. I don't think it applies. No. I don't think it applies. It's like this. Can you take it further? Very, very good question. Can you take it further then and say that any windows broken during football duty, doing football, a game of football, in the thing, you're going to say the potter as well, because that is what the school understood and expected, that that's what's supposed to happen. Can you say that? So in that case there, are you going to potter him for more cases? Possibly, you will turn around and say, since the school have allowed this, and he was doing this in the normal school hours, normal school, that is part of possibly the insurance that the school has to take out for damages being done, if it's included. But if not, it's the type of thing, once you allow the children to play football, it's a normal thing to do, according to the Rosh, a daita dehoche, there will be a mechila That's what the school have allowed. It's been, it wasn't doing anything that wasn't allowed. It wasn't reckless, and therefore should be mutter. Yeah.
Why would he throw the oil and knock things out of the window, knowing that if somebody puts their head out the window, they'll die?
So it's like this. There's a machlokes about it. Two opinions in the Gemara, and there's a machlokes amongst the Rishonim. But in practice, we paskin that in such a case, and that's why I explain, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Shmuel Rozovsky explains that since when I dropped the item, unless you tell me it's completely reckless to do it in the first place, in which case it might be tchilasa b'pshia of a sofer bonus, that if I'm dropping a bottle it could smash and the pieces could go all out everywhere. So that would be a case. This is probably what's hurting, this is probably what's disturbing you. But if I'm in a shooting compound and I'm practicing as a policeman, well, in order to practice shooting, and somebody walks in to the area, that is shleibur shus. But even the case where it is brushless, if I'm shooting and I'm doing something and there's nobody around, I look very carefully before I shot, and then somebody suddenly turns up unexpectedly, in that case, he's the one who's walked into the path of the bullets and not me. I think we all appreciate that. It's just probably the bottle that's coming down that you feel is his reckless behaviour. So if it was reckless, it's still awesome to shift, safe as well.
It's dangerous dropping things out of a high window. It has to be. Under all considerations, it's got to be dangerous.
Right, but if you were a builder, and this was done according to all the... they put things down and they have whatever it is, it's done correctly, and somebody else turns up there, in such a case, you'd be possible. Maybe we'll stop over here, because I think we've run out of time. We'll leave it at that.